The BMC Amy Z Talk and Coffeeware Modern Mainframe podcasts have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion, at soundcloud.com/modernmainframe. Coffeeware is now BMC Coffeeware, providing a complete app dev toolkit which enables you to make the mainframe as adaptive as any other platform and start your journey to becoming an autonomous digital enterprise with a mainframe-inclusive DevOps toolchain. Greetings. Thanks for joining us for Chapter 7 of our series, Building a Better Software Delivery Platform. I'm Matt Dallaire. Let's say hello to the star of the show, Coffeeware Executive DevOps Solution Architect, Rick Slade. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Matt. How are we today?
I'm good. Good. Each week, our podcast episode and Friday Q&A sessions cover a different aspect of the modern software delivery system. This week, we'll be talking about transitioning to a modern software development interface with our special guest, Coffeeware Group Product Manager, Steve Kanza. Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Rick. Great to be joining you today.
It's good to have you. So, Rick, to start us off, can you talk a little bit about modern interfaces and explain why they're important to what we're trying to achieve?
Yeah, glad to, Matt. And I got to correct you on one thing, Matt, with regard to the star of the show. It will definitely be Steve today. when I first came to Coffeeware, Steve's one of the first guys that I talked to. And I came in as a DevOps guy, and that's where I spent a lot of my time. But it was, you know, with a different company and with different tools. And so there were things, a lot of things that I needed to learn and am still learning. But I've been in the development business for a long, long time. But Steve is just a wealth of knowledge with regard to how developers today are working and how to leverage a lot of the tools that will have a huge impact on software delivery from a velocity standpoint and from a quality standpoint. So when I first got to Coffeeware, I spent some time with Steve, and he truly is an amazing resource for all of us here and for our clients. To your question, and one of the reasons that I wanted to add modern software delivery interface as a part, as one of the topics for our podcast, was the criticality of that. And there is a transition that is occurring in the marketplace today, especially for those of us who've been around mainframe software development for a long time. Most shops that I go to, or a lot of shops that I go to, and trying to help them develop a transitional strategy in improving software delivery, I still see a lot of green screen software development occurring for mainframe developers. It's changing, and we're starting to see that the masses move, but there's still some green screen development. And from a business standpoint, it's going to be important that they are able to provide an ecosystem or software delivery environment that's not only going to be attractive to new people coming in to support applications, and specifically those applications that require interface or interaction with the mainframe, those organizations are going to need to provide an environment, an ecosystem, and the IDE or the interface into work is a huge, huge critical component to that. And I thought it necessary to talk about that. Our customers, the industry, needs to start thinking about, you know, what developers need in order to be more productive. And in talking with Steve in prior conversations, you know, I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like in the future. I'm sure Steve will have some ideas and we can ask him that. But the critical component is having a productive environment. And so does that mean a single IDE, or does that mean letting developers leverage what they can be most productive at with regards to the specific task at hand? There's a lot of discussion in the marketplace, and there's a lot of tools coming out to support that. So I think that's important. I think it's important that organizations start to think about what that interface to work looks like. Now, I one of the things that I like is part of Agile is that, you know, we want an environment to where developers can make code changes, create new code, and be able to move from platform to platform. Now, Sounds certainly a lot easier said than done, but it's something that we need to be thinking about, because moving resources continue to be short and costly. And so the business has got to figure out, how do we provide that environment that will allow us to bring in new resources that may not have experience with traditional green screen software development for the mainframe? How do we bring those people in, and how do we give them an environment that will allow them to be productive quickly? And then how do we take existing developers and provide them an environment to where they can start to transition or be able to deliver code to multiple platforms, you know, regardless of the target? So I think those are important questions, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk to Steve, or have Steve on the program today. So I'm going to stop talking. What I'd like to do at this point in time is to introduce Steve Kanza. Steve, my welcome to the podcast. We appreciate you being here today.
Well, thanks, Rick. And just to share a little bit about me, and, you know, to touch on some of the points you brought up. So I'm the group product manager for our application development suite at Compuware. And I lead the teams that are responsible for the IDE aspects with Topaz, source control management, debugging, fault analytics, and also our data capabilities within the suite. And you mentioned, you know, having talked to me when you first came into Compuware. I'll share a little bit about, you know, my background and how I do kind of have a slightly different background than a lot of people that have been in the mainframe space for a while. So when I first left college, I was approached about a job in the mainframe, and to be perfectly honest, I ran away screaming. I wanted to work on web applications. It was the dot-com boom. And I had stayed away from the mainframe. I certainly knew about it. I knew it was really at the heart of enterprises. It did amazing things, but, you know, being young, I wanted to work on, you know, things that were new and shiny. And I ended up where I'm at today because I was approached about the opportunity at Compuware. And what really excited me in talking to Sam Knutson and Chris O'Malley about the opportunity was their vision, their goal of trying to mainstream the mainframe and make it just about syntax. I can remember sitting in Chris O'Malley's office, and he talked about using things like Jira and doing agile development on the mainframe. And I had a long history with agile and working with cutting edge DevOps tools on other platforms. And I knew that the history of the mainframe, I knew having worked on a bank conversion and seeing how mainframe development was done a decade ago, I did have some experience, and I knew there was a huge opportunity to improve. And it was something that I looked at as this awesome challenge. You know, if I can help change the course of how mainframe development is done, that would be, you know, just a great, great thing to be involved with. And it absolutely has been a great thing. So it's been very exciting. I remember when we first started our path, you know, 5 years ago, and looking at how can we integrate with Jenkins and Sonar Cube, and being able to show that to someone, a customer, and for the first time being able to see COBOL code scanned in Sonar Cube, it was just like a light switch turned on for people, and you could understand that there are modern ways, and you can connect this platform and really mainstream it into the way development is done in other platforms. So it's been a great journey.
Yeah, I didn't want to mention age when we started the conversation. I remember coming and visiting you and talking to you. Your hair is definitely a lot, much different color than mine, but it's the knowledge is certainly there. Let me ask you this question to kind of get to kick things off. Talk to me a little bit about, I guess Steve Kanza's definition of the modern software development interface, what it looks like today, and a term that's interesting to me is integrated. And I know that at CompuWare, we spend a tremendous amount of effort from an architectural standpoint, from a design standpoint, making sure that the capabilities needed for software development are delivered so that they can be leveraged easily in our own Topaz interface. But talk to me a little bit about, with regard to your ideas about the modern software development interface that's inclusive of the mainframe and how you describe it and why integration is so important.
So I think there's multiple aspects there. Ultimately, you want to arm your developers with something that's going to make them as productive as possible. And you want that to be a truly an integrated experience, so they're not having to jump between disparate tools or struggle to go from one area to another. So whether you're going from analysis to code to debugging, you want to be able to flow through that, keep people in a productive flow and do that in a manner so your developers are being more productive, because they're ultimately at the heart of your enterprise. You know, there's the phrase, every company is a software company. So you need to think about, how can I make my developers' productivity at its max? And, you know, the IDE, the integrated development environment, is a key part of that. You also want to think about your workforce and how you want that workforce to evolve. What are the barriers to bring people into that workforce? So that's where the modern aspects of how you're approaching your integrated development environment can be important, because, you know, I'm past the age where I'm always chasing the brightest, shiniest new object, but, you know, that's certainly a factor that comes into play when you're trying to bring in new talent into the mainframe. And it is something that you need to keep in mind, and we want the mainframe platform to succeed because it's so critical to today's digital economy. In order to do that, you have to face things like retiring workforce, and you have large applications that can be very hard to understand. So you want to create an environment that addresses all those aspects, brings it together so you can ultimately deliver for your business.
Yeah. And I think that you said something earlier that I agree with, and I talk to my customers when I consult with them, that I think is so important, is that ability to get people up to speed quickly. And if you're trying to bring in new resources to replace retiring resources to support these applications that are targeted for the mainframe, being able to provide them an environment that they are comfortable with, that they've got some experience with, is certainly more attractive to them when you're trying to bring in new talent. So I think that's a huge part of the decision making process that IT organizations are having to make. I know that
Rick, just along those lines. I mean, I think it's a critical point for the mainframe. It's something that, you know, has been in the news recently in terms of, you know, the crisis we're in with the global pandemic. And you can look at that in a couple different ways. Or you can kind of have a defeatist attitude towards it. And that's ultimately, it's going to lead to bad outcomes for the people, the company. Or you can really look at it as, let's embrace a new way of working. Let's figure out how to overcome these challenges. So there's definitely, you can have a bit of a fork in the road, and you got to decide the path you want to go down. But continuing to work in the same environment, with the same tools that have been done for 20, 30, 40 years, you're really setting yourself up for a crisis, and we've seen that play out a couple times.
I couldn't agree more. I when I spend time with clients, I make the statement that You know, it's not that the tools, these green screen interfaces and the methods by which we've developed software for the mainframe over the years are inherently bad. I wouldn't say that. I they're good. And the reason that you have to confess to that is the stability and the longevity of some of these applications that are in place. So we built good software using the tools. The problem that I think that we're experiencing and we have to overcome, and to your point, is that we've got to deliver the same level of application quality at a much higher speed. And I think that these new tools and the capabilities within these tools give us that opportunity. But you're right, change is hard. And I think it's going to require commitment from the organization and a willingness by the developer to consistently or continuously look at, you know, different ways, better ways of doing their work. And I think these type of tools are critical to that. I know that you spent a significant amount of time in the last few months, maybe longer, looking at editors and upgrading our editor, you know, within our tooling. And I know editors, it's not a lot of sexiness in talking about editors, but I did want to ask you about, you know, what do today's developers, you know, what want in their editor and in their debuggers and in their data management tools? What are the key features within these tools that developers are looking for today?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think what everyone wants is a tool that'll make them more productive. And, you know, the editing experience is something that we've been investing heavily in. We had an editing experience that was a good editing experience, but what happened was it was sort of locked in a period of time and we weren't able to advance it. So we've been investing heavily in that to get it to a point where we can now start to add in some of the features that people have asked for years that just weren't able to be accomplished in the past. And, you know, really at the heart of an IDE is the editor. And it's definitely a critical thing. If you look at how work has been done, in the past with ISPF development, the ISPF editor is something that was developed over the course of many, many years. It is an environment that if you're experienced in it, it can be something that you become comfortable with. And, you know, transitioning into a new editing experience can be something that people, you know, frankly, they have to get over a hurdle of learning. They have to be willing to embrace new ways of working. But once you get over that, you start to unlock a lot of the tremendous value that can be brought from a modern development experience. You know, being able to quickly jump to sections of the code, hide sections of the code, being able to find things very quickly across your IDE. The program analysis capabilities to be able to take all that logic and some, you know, there's some crazy amount of programs that have, you know, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of lines of code that people are trying to maintain. And in what, you know, your IDE should be doing is making that a simple process, something that is not going to be something that turns people off, or you become so scared to modify your programs because it's such a, you know, there's so much there and you just can't understand and break it down and you don't understand how the flow of logic, happens, or, you know, dead code is left within programs because people are just scared to modify them. That type of technical debt is something that can really weigh down an organization over the course of time and make it harder and harder and harder to go faster. So you want your development environment to make it really easy to to be able to modify those applications and take care of the technical debt, be able to support new business requirements in them.
Yeah, and that integration is just so important, and that's to me is what quite frankly is where it's better at in a graphical environment versus the traditional green screen. I had essentially everything I needed as a green screen mainframe developer, but time required to pop in and out different screens to get work done. You know, it doesn't seem like a long time, Steve, to navigate through those different screens to get work done, but it takes time. And, you know, in a modern graphical environment, that transition from one work objective, which may be editing code, to, you know, another objective, which may be, you know, manipulating test data to support some tests that you're getting ready, debugging effort that you're getting ready to exercise, that little bit of time over, you know, 50 developers over a year period has a substantial impact. And it can make a significant difference. With the last company I worked at, we did a significant study to try to understand the value of a modern interface versus the traditional 3270 ISPF TSO interface. And again, it's not that they're bad, but what we found, we created a set of tasks, and they were traditional tasks that the developer would typically execute on a regular basis. And we did time studies to look at how long it took to do 100 tasks. And then we took those same 100 tasks and provided a more modern interface to that work, and the results were incredible. Not to oversell it, but were incredible. And then what we did was we took developers who had no experience, you know, in an ISPF environment, developers who had, you know, less than 5 years, and then guys like myself who had, you know, more than 5 years development, and we had each of those groups run through that effort, and for every group, the throughput impact was very significant in how fast they could execute those tasks. So, you know, just again, it's not so much the work that you're doing, the actual editing of the code, but it's the time savings that some of those features provide you that you talked about. But a lot of it is about transitioning from tool to tool, and having an integrated environment, will certainly save you time.
Yeah, and another point in terms of transitioning is, you know, people sometimes they want the easy way out, and they think, okay, you know, I hear what you're saying, integrated environments the way to go, I'm going to, you know, give my developers an integrated environment, I'll drop it in, and all of a sudden I'll get the, you know, the productivity gains. That's the, you know, easy approach, but it doesn't end up working out well. You really have to, it is a transition, it is a change, and you have to support that change both from a management perspective, and then you have to consider the human factors there, where people do become comfortable in a way of working, and, you know, human nature is that you will resist change. Mm-hmm. And you'll stay within the patterns that you're comfortable with. Well, you know, that is can be a recipe for, you know, a lack of success in terms of achieving the true productivity you can get out of the tools. You need to look at it as a change transition. You need to support that change. You need to have champions for that change. You ultimately need to start to consider changing the work that's done. You know, if your goals are to release more changes more frequently, you know, you have to get to the point where you're not just accepting that, you know, I'm going to do that change. I will spend 2 or 3 weeks analyzing all of the changes that need to be made. then we'll start making that change over 4 to 5 weeks, and then we'll start testing that change. You really need to, you need to look at that and say, that's no longer the way work needs to be done. We need to be able to break that down. We need to do very quick analysis. We need to make an incremental change, get that change tested, and iterate on that through, you know, something like a Scrum methodology, where you're continually then tackling the next change, and you know, the analysis can't be done by a separate group from the developers, from the testers. You really need to bring it together in a way that ends up changing the work that's done, and the tools are in place that support that work.
Yeah, in talking about that change, it is hard. I have seen this in several, with several different developers. There are a lot of mainframe developers who embrace this type of change, but there are folks that that find it more difficult. In your experience with the tools, what is there anything that can be done to make that transition easier for the guy like me who's been writing code under TSO ISPF for 15, 20 years? Are there things management can do, or are there things from a technology that can be done to make that transition easier?
You know, I think from a management perspective, again, you need to look at it from, you need to invest some time. You need to put in the right support processes. You need to make sure that training is available. And you need to realize that you're going to invest that time up front. You'll go through a transition period. And then as that transition period ends, you're going to start to see those massive productivity gains. There's a Forrester study we did that's out published on our website that talks a little bit about this, and the impact, a lot of it is related to the impact that the automated testing brings into the mix in terms of productivity change. But it does talk about the initial dip and then the big gain in productivity that occurs. So as management, you do need to be able to support that. You need to allow for that transition period to occur in order to get the payoff.
Rick, you kind of asked about particular developers who are used to doing things a certain way. In terms of the whole enterprise, so you have hundreds of developers. Would you implement the IDE or any changes to it all at once, or would you do it by groups, as we've talked about in the past with the whole software delivery system?
I'll take a shot, and then I'd like to hear Steve's thoughts on it as well. I think most people now who have listened to the podcast know that I'm a believer in leveraging agile means and incrementalism to roll out or to implement essentially any new technology. I'm not a big believer, and I may be wrong, this is just based on my experience, that you roll new technology like this out to everybody at one time. I think that creates a couple of problems. I think one, it becomes a nightmare to support and from a time perspective and a resource perspective, and obviously a cost perspective. And so I think that's an issue from a support standpoint, because change can be difficult, and there will be need for what I call over the shoulder support. So no, I'm not big into rolling it out all at one time. The other thing that I think has an impact on that, by using incremental methods to roll the software out, you give yourself the opportunity to learn a lot about what works and what doesn't work, quite frankly. And then you can leverage those learnings as you scale and as you begin to roll out to others. So, you know, like I've said before, I've been this. I've thought like this for a while, a long time now. I think that you use agile techniques. You define work to be rolled out. You leverage, you know, the traditional 2-week sprint to get that work done. You roll it out and you do it incrementally. I think that gives you the best results. And I quite honestly, I think it shortens the overall time to be effective with the technology, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Steve, any other thoughts on it?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think the ability to incrementally roll out and learn is a huge thing, particularly when you get into larger organizations. You'll get, you know, in a big bang approach, you'll get pockets of a resistance. If you're incrementally doing it and building on success, it makes it much easier to, you know, look at, you know, naysayers or people that are resistant to change and say, you know, I hear you, but, you know, in this area, we've already been successful. We're seeing these results. It just makes it a much simpler process, and it makes it something where you can get immediate benefits in some areas and continue to roll that out to the other areas in a much smoother process. So I think that definitely is a recipe for success that we've seen at multiple customers going through these types of changes. And so, change, just to add on to that,
yeah,
you know, this is a never ending journey. You know, you think about, you have something that's, you know, in a state that's been developed over, you know, 30, 40 years. You're going to start to change that process. You think about, like, CompuWare, for instance, is putting out new releases every 90 days, every quarter. We have new functions, new capabilities that are available, new products that are available. That change cycle is something to get very good at, and get good at rolling out, adopting new things, tackling the next horizon continually.
There's a question that I was thinking about today, Steve, and I have my thoughts on it, and I'll share those briefly, but I'd like to get your thoughts on the impact that the IDE or the development interface has on testing automation and delivery automation, if it does. Yeah, typically I think a lot of people could make the argument those are two separate initiatives. But I'm thinking that, you know, with that IDE, you want the ability within that IDE to very quickly be able to create your test cases, your test case scenarios, and you want those capabilities and those features as part of that interface as you're building that code. You know, the modern developer, in a lot of shops that I talk to, not only are, you know, is finished means working code, but it also means working test cases. And so my thinking is that interface needs to be integrated. I'm not sure that's the right word, but to make it as easy as possible for that developer to create not only or to the finished code, but also, you know, other assets that are important in the automated delivery of that code to a production state at some point in time. So let me ask you your thoughts on the impact of the IDE or the interface to testing automation, delivery automation.
If you think about the development cycle and what drives that cycle, as you're changing code, the quicker, or at the point you've changed code, the quicker you can get feedback on that code,
right,
the faster you can go. So if you think about, I've written code, is that code, you know, are there potential syntax errors in that code that I want to know about right away so I don't waste the time of trying to compile that code? Is that code of the quality standards that it needs? then you take it to the point of automated testing. Does that code function the way that it's supposed to function? So I think the IDE is critical in that, and you do have to think about the automation, because ultimately what you want to feed is that you want to be able to feed feedback to the developer as rapidly as possible in different layers of that feedback. So the IDE has a key part of that. And then the other aspect that you have to consider is at the point that developers complete with that, and then they then move that code to the next level, what does your pipeline look like?
Right.
Having an automated pipeline is a key thing in order for you to speed up your velocity of development. So, that's another key aspect to think about in modernization is, a lot of organizations, there's a lot of manual steps that are done in each one of those processes for feedback to the developer. And then their pipeline is a series of manual steps, often across many different groups. And that slows down the ability to deliver things quickly. And the other thing it does is it robs time away from your developers.
Yeah.
We have a customer that did analysis of the time in manual the time in manual steps a developer spent promoting each change, and what they're able to do with our technology is they took that time out. 95% of that time went away. It was automated away. Wow. And the part of that remaining time could also be recovered as well, but since they had just put in that pipeline, they're waiting a little bit just to give people the comfort that they really truly didn't need any more manual stops. But you think about that, you're talking about hours, if not more, of developers' time per week recovered that can be spent on things other than just kind of wasted manual effort, and that those are the types of productivity gains you can get as you modernize. It really can be a huge benefit for organizations.
Yeah, and I think that integration and access to that information via the developer's interface or environment is just critical. And one of those things that our customers and hopefully listeners are thinking about as they start to think about that transition. Well, Steve, man, this has been awesome. I could do another one. We ought to do another podcast at some point. I'm talking to you. So many things that you've taught me, and I appreciate it. I appreciate your time here today talking to us about the importance of the modern software developers interface environment. And thank you very much.
That was a great conversation. So thanks, Rick, and thanks again, Steve, for taking the time. Thank you also to everyone listening.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Take care. Have a good week, a safe week, and good coding, everybody.
The BMC AMI Z Talk and Copyware Modern Mainframe podcasts have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion, soundcloud.com/modern mainframe. Copyware is now BMC Copyware, providing a complete app dev toolkit which enables you to make the mainframe as adaptive as any other platform and start your journey to becoming an autonomous digital enterprise with a mainframe-inclusive DevOps toolchain.